Lehrer on WNYC. And now we begin our August series on interns and internships. The Economic Policy Institute estimates that over 75% of college graduates will have participated in at least one internship during their college careers, and that there may be as many as 2 million interns each year in the United States, many of them post-college, more than half of them unpaid. So we begin the series by looking at the labor laws pertaining to internships. Joining us is Stephen Greenhouse, New York Times labor and workplace reporter. Stephen, welcome back to the show. Hi.
Nice to be here, Brian.
And we'll do a whole segment later in the month on the history of internships. But laws around internships are a relatively new thing, right?
Well, there aren't so much formal laws as interpretations of a Supreme Court decision that harkens back to 1947 that set forth the principles upon in which internships can be unpaid and when they must be paid. And remember, 1947 was really internships were much more blue collar in factories. Now, internships are much more white collar in publishing houses, law firms, and such. And basically, the Supreme Court back in 1947 set forth six criteria, and the Labor Department, to this day, has basically said these are the six criteria that for-profit employers must follow if an internship is not to be is to be unpaid. So let me run through them very quickly, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
One is the internship is similar to training that would be given in an educational environment like a vocational school or even a college.
Mm-hmm.
Second, the internship experience is, quote, for the benefit of the intern. Third, and this is a standard criterion that few employers meet, it says the employer that provides the training derives no immediate advantage from the activities of the intern. And also, the intern should not displace regular employees, but works under the close supervision of existing staff. About the one criterion that most of these unpaid internships do satisfy is that the employer and the intern understood in the first instance that the internship would not be paid.
So bottom line is it's supposed to be an educational experience, not extra help for the company.
Right. And in the stories I've written about internships and unpaid internships, Brian, I've interviewed many, young people, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, who say that their internships are not really, not really very educational. They're often scut work, I interviewed people at, top colleges who said, they had to clean door handles to prevent people from getting swine flu, that they had to clean the bathrooms, that they often went out to get lunch for their bosses. One talked about going to Barney's to pick up Christmas presents for her boss. And, there are some very good, there are even many very good internships where people learn, especially in social media where people really want to get their hands-on experience.
Mm-hmm. Let me open up the phones because I'm sure people have stories. And listeners, we're going to take your internship stories from the intern standpoint, the employer standpoint, co-workers standpoint, anyone, all through this month, once a week in August. But for today, the topic is the law of internships. So what questions do you have for Stephen Greenhouse about what's legal and what's not? And maybe you want to reflect on one of your experiences through that lens. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Call right up. You'll get right on, as we don't have that much time for this segment today. But, Stephen, on what you were just describing, the complaint by interns that they're used to get coffee, to go to Barney's, it's my impression that interns used to complain mostly about only being given scut work. Now, in the high unemployment era, the general concern about internships has somehow flipped, that the concern now is that interns are being given real work and that that's being done because it's easy to get people who are unemployed who are willing to work for you for free. So what's the bigger threat here? Is it giving interns work that isn't real, or is it giving interns work that is real, and has that changed in the last few years?
Great question. I think it's both. I mean, a top official at a company or a publishing house or a film house might need someone to get his lunch, and it could be a regular employee. Scut work, can be the work that regular employees do. But I interviewed the head
of... Right, entry-level paid employees get coffee, too.
Right, right. Now, I interviewed the head of placement at Stanford University, and he said the number of unpaid internships that employers are asking for posting rose to about 650 from one-third that 3 years earlier. So employers, I think, really see in this weak economy with lots of unemployment an opportunity to get people on board for free. The Labor Department regulations guidelines say, you know, that's kind of naughty to do that. It says if an employer uses interns as substitutes for regular workers or to augment its existing workforce during specific time periods, these interns should be paid. If the employer would have hired additional employees or required existing staff to work additional hours had the interns not performed that work, then the interns would be viewed as employees and the interns should be paid. So I think, Brian, a lot of employers see interns as a great way to do scut work and a great way to, you know, cut costs. But maybe we won't have to hire five extra workers this summer. Maybe we could get five interns for free and cut our payroll by, you know, a few thousand dollars a week.
Let's take a call. Alice in Philadelphia. Alice, thanks a lot for calling. You're on WNYC.
Hi, it's great to talk to you. Okay, so my internship last year was for the Urban Inc. Anthropology, and they are very well known for hiring art students for class credits, you know, do their displays. But for this credit, it's my class is 6 hours each. That's how they generally are in our school. And to work there, we had to work 18-plus hours. And if you did not adhere to that, you couldn't have the internship. And I was just curious about the legality of that because we didn't do anything in the store. We kind of just sat up and made little twisty things. And it was very uneducational. And I was very frustrated with this internship. I actually left it early. And I was just very curious. How that's clearly illegal. I just wanted to see if comments about that.
Stephen, that sounds like it would not fit under the guidelines of legal internships that you laid out if she was just used as almost an assembly line worker the way she's describing it.
Good. Sorry, Alice. Good question. You know, some companies, some corporate lawyers would argue that as long as you're getting college credit, nothing else matters, that the internship can be unpaid. I think the Labor Department guidelines make pretty clear, however, that college credit can just be a pretext and almost a fig leaf for wrongly not paying people. It's, you know, the internship still should meet the six criteria. Now, the Labor Department makes clear that, you know, if you're receiving college credit and if there's close supervision by supervisors and it's very educational, if your school is involved in shaping and running the internship to make sure it's educational, then it's probably fine for it to be unpaid. But if, you know, you're really not learning much, if you're twiddling your thumbs, then you probably should be paid. One of the crazy things, if I may just say it, is some interns complain that my school makes me pay $4,000 or $3,000 in credits so that I'm getting college credit for my internship. And I don't learn much on the internship, and I'm just forking over $4,000 to my school for this lousy unpaid internship. And that's another point of friction, point of tension about these internships.
Alice, thank you for your call. An instructive story. So what about all these interns who are post-college? There are so many, you know, people who've just lost their jobs or they're out of college now and they want an internship as a way to break in. Are they governed differently by the law because they're not technically there under the guise of an educational institution?
Yes. I mean, I've heard stories, Brian, and I wrote about one woman who interned at Harper's Bazaar magazine where, you know, she said she had graduated from Ohio State, and they said, well, you have to, even though you graduated, we have to figure out a way for you to get credit so that we can hire you as an intern.
Is that true?
And I've seen that happen with other people as well. You know, I think companies want to be able to say, look, this person has college credit, therefore, we could, go right past go and not have to pay anyone. But I think according to Labor Department regulations, again, the fact that you are receiving college credit does not give companies a pass. You know, the six criteria about this not being to the immediate advantage of the company.
Still needs to be educational, even if there's no actual degree in the offing there. Eric in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Steve. Brian and Steve. Steve, this is I'm the former intern who sued Fox Searchlight Pictures.
Steve, you know about him?
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess
I
you guys were just...
my story, Brian.
All right. So, Eric, go ahead and be concise because we don't have much time. But what aspect of your situation do you want to bring up?
Well, I'm actually interested in the point you were just discussing, which is I think the culture around these internships, where colleges kind of think that by giving credit, it's therefore sufficiently not harmful to the labor market. And I find it interesting that young people have kind of internalized this sense that their work isn't worth anything until they already have real-world experience under their belt, and they're often quick to defend the practice itself. I find that really interesting.
By the way, you're the guy who interned on the movie Black Swan. Your suit has been written up a lot in the press, right?
That's right, yeah.
And give us the, 20-second version for people who haven't heard your story before of what your allegation was.
Well, basically, we're alleging that Fox Searchlight Pictures, like many other film studios, regularly engages interns as entry-level workers. And I think that goes right to that culture of everybody sort of giving it a pass without really giving it a hard look. You know, why is that considered acceptable in some industries or others? Or why does it seem acceptable when people think they're getting credit for it?
And so was your concern about yourself as being exploited? Or was it more that, hey, you were happy to get the experience as a means toward breaking in, but it's the other workers, it's the people who are not being hired who are being demeaned here?
Yes, exactly. My concern is that this undermines the labor market and some basic principles that, you know, as a society, we instituted with the Fair Labor Standards Act and establishing a minimum wage.
Right. And, Eric, I'm going to leave it there. Forgive me, because we are going to run out of time in a minute. But, Stephen Greenhouse, what's the status of that suit, and does that encapsulate the issues, or at least, a portion of the issues that you've been talking about here?
The suit really, hits the nail on the head and addresses the issues of, You know, Eric, when I interviewed him for my story and his legal papers, alleged that, he was doing a lot of the work that a typical employee would do, handling, checking people's petty cash vouchers, reimbursing them. And he basically said, I should be paid. This is regular work. I'm replacing someone who could do this work. You said at the top of this segment, Brian, that there may be 2 million people in unpaid internships. Those could translate into 300,000, 400,000, 500,000, 600,000 paid jobs, and that could in ways help reduce the unemployment rate. I think that's one of the point Eric is making.
And that suit, we have about 30 seconds. That suit is making its way through the courts now?
Yes, yes. So one of the, I'll say, crazy things right now, Brian, is you speak to college students, college graduates, and they say, I can't get a job in publishing or in the arts unless I have at least 3 internships under my belt. And it's almost become a prerequisite, and people feel that to get this job, they have to submit to an unpaid internship or 2 unpaid internships.
And a catch-22 if people don't have the money to work unpaid. And we leave it there for today with Stephen Greenhouse, New York Times labor and workplace reporter. He'll be joining us every Thursday this month as we explore the world of internships. Next week, the history of internships. Meanwhile, keep this conversation going on our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Steve, we'll have you next week.
Looking forward, Brian. Thanks much.